The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Down there, and even you may have had to cry over them a little bit, watering them with your own tears. Amen. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah. Amen.
Where you just got to plant the word. You don't seem to know which way to go, but you're just going to plant the word, even if it's in hard ground, and you're going to try to cultivate it however you can, but then it's your own tears that are watering it in hopes that it would bring forth fruit. Amen? I don't know how many times I've had to do that, but if you're one of those that are waiting on the fruit to grow, if you're waiting on the harvest to grow, have faith, stand strong, and know that the harvest is coming. God is still able. He's still willing, and we just got to ask ourselves, are we willing, and are we able only with the Lord's help? Because the Word of God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without the Lord, I'm nothing. Amen? That's what the Word of God says. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your time and Your word, that You're here with us today, Lord, that You're in the presence with us, Lord, that we are thankful, Lord, that You are dwelling in this place, that You're amongst Your people, and we give You praise and glory in this house, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you that are here. We had a wonderful time in praise and worship, and we want to welcome our friends that may be watching that are hungry for the Word of God. Amen. So let's welcome our family that are watching, you to the north, the south. God bless you. It's good to see you here in the house, listening live so that they may be fed. They may be away from here. And you have family and friends that you may never have met, but let me tell you and assure you, they're praying for you as much as we're praying for you watching. Amen. So we have family all around this land that even a church this size, we're broadcasting and ministering to people weekly. And it's only because of the Lord and because of you. And thank you for all of you that help out and donate and sow seed into this ministry. You that are blessing this ministry. Can we say thank you to you that have put time here? Those that help clean, those that serve, those that come in on Saturdays, those that are giving, those that are mowing an abundance right now. The mower is getting a workout right now with the way the grass is growing. Amen. So be praying, if you want to help out, if you can help, let us know, because there's lots of opportunities to serve in this house, because we are a house where everybody has a place to belong. Amen? Amen? So don't feel that you're underqualified, overqualified, side-qualified. You have a heart to serve. Listen, it's good for you to be in the house of the Lord where you can feel that you are a part of the family of God. Amen? Amen? So we've got a lot to be in prayer for. We have a lot of people. We're getting prayer requests every week. And if you're on our list, if you have a need, please send in a request. We'll be praying for you. The ministry team here, we pray together, we believe together on your behalf. And let me tell you, the Lord's still moving. Can I get an amen? Amen. I might have to get you a little stirred up this morning, because let me tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
Hello? You need to get a hold of that today. God's the same yesterday, today. In other words, if He was moving back then, He's still moving today. And my concern is that some have squashed and quenched that what God wants to do. And it's a dangerous spot, because we must understand. I'm going to get you happy a little bit this morning, because if God's still the same, and if God's still El Elyon, and God is still El Shaddai, then if He's still in the saving business, if He's still in the moving business, if He's still in the healing business, then who moved? Is it Him or is it us? Are we in position properly to receive what God has for us? Or have we put God in a box? Have we limited God in some way? I sure hope not. And if we have today, I hope that you receive something that says, listen, I've got to stir up my faith. I'm going to stir, you know, if you're in a wheelchair and you need prayer, you need help, you're going to need someone to come alongside you and pray and believe, amen? You're going through a financial need. You're going to need someone that you call on, El Shaddai, who's your way maker, God Almighty. Amen? And that's what the family here at the River does, is we come beside Him. We believe together where two or three are gathered in His name. There He is in the midst, right? So if we come together in agreement needing something, then let's come together in agreement believing for what you have need of. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Amen? So don't feel all alone because I go through things. I'm going to call you. Say, hey, will you believe with me in this? Amen. But are we limiting God in any way in our lives? Have I limited God any way in my life? And I'm going to say, yeah, I have. You know, before I got truly saved, I had a form of godliness. Now, some would say, well, there you go. You're on that form of godliness, but deny the power. Well, the problem is I didn't understand the power. I was ignorant of the power of God. I just had a belief in God. And I ask you today, you have a belief in God, but do you understand the power that is available from God Almighty to move mountains, to see things change in your life, to see finances break through, for relationships to be mended together, for people to be healed and be set free? He's still moving today. You know, there's churches all around this land that they forbid the speaking of tongues. They're like, oh, and they quench it, and they're like, because they don't understand the power. They try to put God in a box because they understand the amount of the power you have in prayer with your prayer language. He's still moving today. That did not go away. And a lot of people, they get so uncomfortable with that, going, listen, don't be ignorant. Listen and learn that there are people that have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He's still moving today. You don't have to put Him in a box. Right. You don't put Him on a shelf. You know, I know several people. I'm praying for them because they serve God as if they'll serve Him when things are good and like they get their own wish list made. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I'll serve God. I've been reading my Bible. I'll come to church every once in a while, and then I'm good. And then all of a sudden, He goes right back on the box, on the shelf, and then, oh, I'm in need again. Well, wait a minute. He's looking for more than that.
That's right.
He's can I be so honest? As you and I have claimed to be Christians, and we've died to self. Amen. We've died to self. Those of you who've been baptized, those of you who believe, and you've been saved, born again, and you. But until you're baptized in water, you still have a dying to self. The baptism is just a reflection, the outward appearance, to show everybody confessing outward. And trust me, we're going to have some baptisms this summer. Amen? You know why? Because you're going to be inviting people to the house of the Lord. You're going to be a witness amongst all the people of what God has done for you. You're going to get out of your shell, and people are going to want to get saved. People are going to want to get baptized, and we're going to spend all afternoon doing it if we need to. Hallelujah? Because we got to get free ourselves. This salvation, this gift we have, is not designed to be a reservoir. Hello? It's not designed for us to hold it up. It's designed that out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. In other words, there's a lot of people that need a nice cool drink today. Right? We're not having Sunday night service tonight. We're gonna tie in on Wednesday. Have a couple devotions maybe this week at different times. Have our Wednesday night Bible study. But listen, this afternoon, you have an opportunity to take what you received here and go out and give someone a cool drink of water that may be in need. Amen. You may be able to talk to somebody, say, hey, you know what? Hey, let's talk about things. Let's just spend a minute maybe on the patio and talk about how God has moved in our life. Let's not forget the benefits of serving the Lord. Amen. You see, my concern is that for me, I was serving the Lord years ago, and I got comfortable. It's easy to get comfortable. I describe it the lazy boy Christianity. We're not designed to get comfortable and lull to sleep. We're designed to be on point. Amen? Calling those things that are not as if they were.
Right.
You've got a need. We're going to pray believing that God would open up a door, that you would go through it. Amen?
Amen?
to the left and to the right. You'd go straight through whatever you have need of because God's still moving. Oh, God doesn't do that today. No, I beg to differ. I've seen Him move in my own life and my finances more than you guys could ever imagine. He's still working. Whether you believe it and whether you watching me can receive it, let me tell you, God has done miracles in my marriage. God has done miracles in our finances. And like, well, that's just coincidence. No. See, I was talking to several recently, and you talk to them about serving the Lord and different things, and you try to help them, bless them. And they want what you have, but they don't want to go down the path you went through to get there. And let me tell you, if you've been down my path, or I get to know you and you've been down your own path, sometimes our paths have been a little bumpy, haven't they? My concern is, for me, I don't know about for you, is I don't want to go back to the comfortableness that I've got all my needs met, and then I just get so comfortable that I don't think that I need the Lord anymore.
Amen.
You don't want to go there. That's a dangerous place because you made a covenant with the Lord. You made a commitment. You know, we had a wonderful wedding yesterday where two became one. And we had their vows, and it was a wonderful time, and thank you for all you that helped and blessed that time. But you know, they made a commitment to one another. You notice I've got two rings on. I've got one to my beautiful wife, and I've got one that I received in men's ministry that has Jesus on it, that the men at that time wore. And we wear them faithfully and honestly. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen? It's been many years ago. I think it's been like 2 or 3 years ago. And people are like, well, why do you have that? Because it's a reminder of the commitment that I made. When I'm getting weak, when people are trying to pull me to the left and to the right, when things aren't always as warm and fuzzy in your marriage, right? Because we made a vow to love and to cherish till death do us part. You know, that should be our vow to Christ, shouldn't it?
Amen.
Shouldn't that be the same vow that we are committed to Jesus Christ for the call, for the kingdom, for the message, to say He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still saves. He still can set you free of your sins. He can still set you free of the addictions, the problems. That's the gospel message that's still today. Let's not get relaxed, and we got to be on the cutting edge of saying, listen, I'll be the leader. I'll be the way maker. I'll be the watchman on the wall.
Amen?
Amen? So go with me into scriptures because this year we've been trying to cultivate this love for Jesus Christ. Not just a social thing. Not just, there's so many people that I'm concerned about that, well, I'll just go to church, just have something to do. No, this is not why we do this. We come to serve. We come early. We come. We stay late. We come often. We have Mondays. We have Wednesdays. We do what somebody needs counseling. Somebody wants to get married. We do this as doing it unto the Lord.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. And there's a commitment that says, I can't be like the old Corey. My flesh wants to be. My flesh would love to go back to that side, but my spirit man is saying, come on, Corey. Come on. Come on, reach those. Not be afraid to talk to somebody out on the street.
Amen.
Well, should I give out the gospel tract or not? No, there's got to be something that says, I'm no longer the old Corey. I'm no longer the old Peter. I'm going to switch gears on you. You see, in Matthew chapter 22, it talks about love the Lord with all your heart. Not love the Lord like someone else, with your own heart. It puts it back this year. We're already almost to the end of May. Can you believe that? And you've heard this message and this scripture start out many times in this church because it's to cultivate a relationship that says, I need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will line up in my life. If there's not a love for the Lord and His Word, you're going to go through trouble. You're going to have bumpy roads. You're going to have things. There's going to be things where the Lord has to keep molding and shaping us on the potter's wheel. And people are like, well, I know, I've been through this before. Yeah, well, sorry, but I'm back on the potter's wheel. Because God is wanting me to go a little further with Him. How about you? Has God been urging you to go a little deeper lately? And sometimes we're on it and sometimes we're resistant. Is God wanting to pull you to greater measures to where you're ministering at different levels, that you're helping people at different levels, you're in your Word at different levels, and it's like, well, I got this to do, I got that to do, and I'm busy here, and I've got there, and I'm going to have to cut this off, I'm going to have to cut that off, I'm going to have to maybe get a little less sleep here because God's wanting me to do a little bit more?
Amen.
Last 3.5 weeks has been a beautiful experience, but a testing time for me. I'm finally starting to get it. Because he wants us to cultivate. You know, you guys that are gardeners, you know how important it is to cultivate the soil, to put the nutrients in the soil. And if you deplete the soil too much, you're not going to get much growth. So you've got to put the Word of God in there that you may grow fruit and grow with the Lord. And it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. Pastor talks about it, and it's a great reference of two becoming one. What would happen, men, if we gave our wives only 90% of our heart? We would have trouble, would we not? Right? That's easy to see, but is it possible that the Lord's still working on each of us to give Him all of us, not just pieces of it when it's convenient? It says, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbors yourself. I tell you, I have found in the last year and a half a greater love for my neighbor than I've ever had in 25 years of my life. I absolutely adore my neighbors. They are encouraging. They lift me up. And any of you that come to my house, you're going to meet my neighbors. You're going to see them. They recognize me. They say hi. They're in the evenings. They're helping out. They're bringing stuff. They're doing stuff together. And it is a beautiful thing. And any of you that come over, I'll introduce you to all of them. Because they're all serving the Lord of some capacity. Every single one of them that's next to my house. God has placed me in just the right place. That didn't come easy. You know how that happened? Through prayer and fasting and time with the Lord and being in position for when He would bless. Pastor Burkhart used to talk about you need to be in position under the spout where the glory comes out. And the question is, for you and I, God's still pouring out His blessings today, but are we, church, in position to receive what He has for us? Amen? Because God has great plans for each of us, whether you know it or not. There's great things coming if we'll get in line with His Word. And this is why we start right here. So go with me into Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I'll try not to have a 3-hour message for you. But it's important that I want to come from an angle today, because I'm concerned that the world is just pulling and dividing and trying to quench the things that God's doing, and start to get you thinking about and compelling you to the point, but drawing you near to Him at a greater level, because He wants to pour out blessings on us if we will be in position. In Psalm 91 it says, He who dwells, are you all there? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, in verse 2, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Let me tell you, this is your next step. Can you trust God in all seasons? It's a challenge. It's an open thought process, because I'm going to ask you, where are you dwelling? Are you in the dwelling of the old Peter? Or are you ready to move into the new Peter? Because for me, there had to be a transition. There had to be something deeper. There had to be something. Peter, all of us know Peter's past, right? Oh, we can go down the litany just like everybody can go down our past, can't they? All you on Facebook, they can all go down our past. They'll forget what they said last year, but they'll remember what you did 5 years ago. Amen? Come on. Don't leave me up here all by myself, right? But you and I have to get past that, because the attacks will come, and we got to go from old Peter to new Peter, because the new Peter was on fire for the Lord. He went through the Jesus reconciliation plan. Do you love me more than these, Peter? Think of something that you hold very dear to your heart right now. Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a thing, maybe it's whatever. It could be a husband, could be a wife. I know people that put their wives up so high on a pedestal above God, and then things don't go right and they're just a mess. Or women that put their man up above God, and then you got a mess because we will disappoint you. I didn't get too many amens there, but that's okay. We still have our faults. We're not perfect. We haven't crossed over to the other side yet where we're... Are you here? So there has to be grace. There has to be love. There has to be mercy. You see, the new Peter raised up to the challenge. Oh, he cut off men's ear and he denied the Lord 3 times and the rooster crowed. We got all that. But what about the new Peter that stood up for the Lord and stood up for the kingdom of God and made it his mission? He no longer looked at the past any longer. Come on now. We've got to get past the past. We've got to move on to the future with our eyes on to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the sin. Not looking at the waves, not looking at what the waves are blowing, but look at the author and the perfecter, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Are you here? Come on. Come on. He's the one that why we came to church. You didn't come to see me today. I hope you're not watching because of me. I hope you're listening and watching because of the Word of God is true. It's the infallible Word of God, and it will bless you and encourage you. I'm only a messenger, so don't kill the messenger. Too many people like to kill the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. I'm only on assignment. I'm only obedient to the Lord. That's all I got. Amen. He says, he who dwells in the secret place. I want to ask you, where are you dwelling at today? Are you dwelling outside the will of God or with the will of God? Too many people today, they say, well, God owns it all. God is all powerful. He's everywhere, right? But we have the ability to be outside of His will. Right. We have the ability as fallen natures, Adamic nature, you know, back to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, we've all followed that same suit that sin entered the world. And we have the ability to step outside of His perfect will and His covering. And you and I have to rein ourselves in sometimes, or make tough decisions and choices that says, I'm not going to go to the old quarry anymore. I'm going to get myself in alignment with His perfect will, because let me tell you, I know me, and I'm working on not going like this and drifting. And at some point in time when you drift, you're okay as long as you're on point until you get to the proper spot that you're on both sides. There is a place that you find yourself following your own ways and not God's ways. And the question I have for each one of you is, God's had me on the potter wheel. I've had to make some tough decisions lately. Would I be in His Word or would I be out on the lake? Oh, it's 70 degrees and the crappie are biting, the bluegill are biting, but I need to be in His Word. Oh, this is going on, this is going on. Yeah, but I got to prepare. This person has a need. I need to go counsel here. I need to pray here. I need to do this. You see, there's a lot of things that you and I can do because we have free will. We can do anything we want. Right? You don't have to come to church. You get to come to church. You want to come to church. You don't have to praise the Lord. You don't have to read your Bible at all. But there should be something in you that has changed from the old Peter to the new Peter. You see, the bar has raised, whether you want to admit it or not. The bar does raise a little bit that says, I can't go back to my old self anymore. I need to go to my new self. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. I've died to self, and I'm going to have to step up a little bit on my game that says, it might be challenging. I might not get as much sleep. Right? When I first learned about tithes and offerings, everybody's like, oh, don't talk about that. You know what? I had people warn me about, don't talk about tithes and offerings because it'll split a church. You know what? The thing is I owe it to each of you to tell you and teach you what got me out of my mess. Amen. As I was so financially in trouble and messed up that when I began to understand that when you sow seeds into the kingdom and you sow seeds in good soil, it opens up doors in your life. You see, people don't want to hear that because they don't want to do what I had to do to get where I'm at today. But I'm blessed today because I had a wonderful pastor that would tell me that out of love and say, hey, you want help in this area? Here it is. You receive it. And to this day, I believe in sowing seed. You'll hear me preach that a lot. It's tough sometimes, but you develop a discipline of your nature and your habits to say, you know, I can eat all those eggs of the chickens all day long and have scrambled eggs, but some point in time, I got to let the egg grow into another chicken. Did you catch that the last time I ministered? You can't eat all the eggs in the basket. You got to let some of them grow. And you know how you let your seed grow is you invest it in good soil. You let it grow and watch God bless and bless and bless. And I'm telling you, receive it or not, it works. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a helpful tool, even if it's only just serving, if that's all you can do. The old Peter is gone. The old Peter would come and go, would have decisions to make. But going through the reconciliation program with Jesus, I had to learn when He asked me, Corey, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Corey, do you love me more than these fish? Feed my lambs. I can't do any feeding if I haven't done it myself. You can't give away what you haven't invested in. Amen? So as a Christian, as a true Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ, people don't like to hear it, but as a true follower, there is a difference between a follower and just a head knowledge of a believer. There is a different level. I just have to be honest with you. All of you know it, right? Amen? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There is something that's urging you, I hope, because you feel something. If you don't feel anything, then it's concerned about what Pastor was talking about last week, where we grow cold to the things of God and we just have our own way, our own form of godliness. And the thing is that I myself have had to get myself on the potter's wheel saying, listen, I've got to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, not putting God in a box. Well, you know, that'll never happen. Any of you have seen my house and my property? I say that to identify that it's ours, but really it's the Lord's. I don't own anything. Can I teach you that? Anything you see that I have possession of, God has enabled me to manage to be a good steward of what He has. He's still blessing. I don't own any of it. I'm just a steward of it. And I'm waiting to hear if any of you get the articles. I'm waiting to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm waiting to hear, good and faithful because I want to be faithful what God has given me, which means I'm going to have to make tough decisions sometimes and go, it's not about me, it's about Him. Amen? Where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling at? Because I have a tendency to want to dwell in certain areas, and what I need to do is get under His perfect will. Is this blessing anybody yet today? Amen? Amen? It's so easy to get outside of His, of what He really wants. And I think there's a whole bunch of people that are not here today that don't understand the importance of why we meet and why we come together. I know there's people that are working, there's people that are on vacation and things like that. Honeymoons, things like that. I got it. Okay? But I'm talking about you as believers that we're going to have to make decisions that says, you know what? I'm feeling a pull. I'm recognizing a pull here. I want to go here, but there's a pull that says, you know what? I need to be here. And for me, that's here. When I had to change some things up, where was I dwelling? Because when you're in position with God, you're watching God move, things happen in your life. I'm telling you. It's challenging. I spent many years, I won't try not to get too personal and too transparent, but when we moved from south, from by Brother Luke's, to up north of here, there was a spot that I went and prayed, and I was like, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. I had to get right in the center of His will to have the faith and confidence to keep going. Can I be that transparent? Because if I was bouncing, I couldn't get encouragement. I didn't have it. But we prayed and believed and watched God move in our finances and watched God move us and position us from one place to another. It wasn't by my might. I give the Lord the credit. Anybody ever had that happen? You just had to trust in Him like this, where you're like, I will say of the Lord, I don't care about each of you. You have your own path. But for me in my house, I had to get to the point individually that says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my protector and my God. Nobody can fight it for you. Nobody can walk the path for you. Amen? Hope I'm not going too deep. I'm trying to keep this light for you. Because each one of us, I want to encourage you today, that each one of us is going to have a walk that says, you're going to have to decide in Him, it says. In Him. The world will leave you high and dry. Yep. Your friends, I've had so many friends that they say you're my friends and I can't count on them for nothing. Yep. But I've got some Christian friends that I believe in my heart that if I called, I'd get an answer. I believe in my heart that if I text or I called, I'd get a response, as opposed to those some that I call and I text and I get nothing. Anybody been in my shoes? You know, there's going to be a day where they're going to wish they had called me back. They're going to, let me tell you, there's going to be people that you know and I know, they're going to lament the fact that they didn't call you back, or they didn't get back with you, or they didn't call you because they wouldn't take 30 seconds to text. Because there's going to be a time where it's going to be, well done, good and faithful servant, and I'm out of here.
Right.
And they're going to go, but, too late. All you're going to have is this pretty face to remember. And they're going to have this. And they're going to be, their life is going to be played back on a jumbotron. And they're going to have to remember this face and go, I know that guy. You mean to tell me all those years God placed him in my life for a reason? Yes. You mean that guy just loved on us because you placed him in my life to help me to get through life better? Yes, I did. And their life's going to be played back and given an account and go, I never realized all these people that you put in my life to help me. But I stand before you realizing all of you that God's put in my life to help me. I'm just a vessel talking today. But think of the deeper thing in life. Think of the deeper spiritual meaning of your life and what you have purpose for and call that you can believe together for things, for great things, that you can ask God for great and mighty things as we dwell together and we have unity in the house and we have friendships that we're building. Many of you are closer to me than my own family. Do you understand that? Can I be so transparent? I know we're on Facebook, but that's okay. I don't care about that. I've gotten over that years ago. They can say what they want on me on Facebook. But there's some of you that you call me and you mean so much to me. There's a family, a man and a woman that you guys only know by name. You've never met them. They bless me more than you know. And God bless you. I know you're watching. At some point in time, you're going to be watching me. And I love you. God bless you. We're going to meet. I'm going to make it my purpose to get where they're at. And I'm going to buy them dinner. I'm going to meet them somehow because they encourage me. All of you need somebody like that, don't you? Love them dearly. You know, but it's only because I'm dwelling where God wants me to be. Because if I was doing my own thing, I wouldn't be in the house of the Lord. I wouldn't be here talking to you. I'd be catching a little green fish. Amen? So I have a lot of time, but I won't take too much time because that is kind of an introductory. But I want to set it up of letting go of the past, going into the future. What does God have for you? I've asked many of this. What is your calling? What is your purpose? Maybe you're the best aunt, the best grandma in the world, the best mom, the best dad, whatever. But God's imparted something into you that you enjoy, that God has purposed in your life. Can it be a struggle sometimes? Tell me it's easy being a mom and dad. Tell me it's easy being a comforter to someone who constantly denies God's calling and purpose. That's not easy. When you pray for family members and pray, going, I just wish they'd come to church. I wish they'd just believe in me. I wish they would get past the past. And I wish they would not look at this guy that they grew up with and understand that this isn't the old Peter. This is the new guy that would give you the shirt off his back if you need it. Right? Have you ever dealt with anybody like that? Be encouraged because you're amongst family. Amen? So go with me into Acts chapter 1. I want to share with you that God is still moving. I want to start inviting you into a realm of the Lord still moving today if you can accept it and you can receive it. In Acts chapter 1, I'll give you a second to get there. And go to those that have the version that I use. It's in the 1600 pages. So let's begin reading. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, the former account I made with Theopas of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Let me tell you, if you're going to be born again, I'm going to drag these verses out too long, but if you're born again, you and I are going to have to walk the walk that we say we're walking. Amen. Jesus walked the walk. He talked the talk. He did what he said he was going to do. He still will do what he says he's going to do. He's still faithful. He's still true. If he promised something, it's still here. It's still to pass. It's still to keep believing for in faith because he was the example that we should look for. Don't look at me. Don't make me your example. Get your eyes a little bit higher. Amen? Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. What's your Bible say? He also presented himself alive. He died and He rose again on the third day. He paid the price. In His Word, He showed, He spoke, He told us. And yet, now we read, He showed Himself to people as a witness. No one else can say that. Do you believe that? Alive after His suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days. That's proof. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. He paid the price. He died, suffered on the cross for you and I. That's the message we preach. If you don't know anything in this Bible, you can know your testimony and know what He did for you. He died and paid the price that you couldn't pay. That's the gospel message. He paid that price. He died. He rose again on the third day. And here we read that He showed Himself for 40 days. Done deal for me. I'm done. That's it. End of story. He did it. I believe, right? But I grew up 20 years not believing this. I just had a head knowledge. I believe that there is a God. But I didn't understand the power behind it. You see? There's power. There's power in believing in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the chain breaker. There's power. Maybe we should hit that song a few times. Amen. He's powerful. He's Almighty God. Don't put Him in a box. Don't limit Him by your own thinking, but believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." I want to pause there. Because some of you, if you can get a hold of this, is get ready for some dunamis power. If you can open up your hearts and open up your minds to receive what God wants to do and give you your prayer language. If you don't have a prayer language, there's a prayer language that comes from the Holy Spirit that is power that confuses the enemy. The devil can't understand it, but when you have your prayer language, it's powerful. Amen. It's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't have it, it's available to you. It's a free gift from God. All you have to do is desire it, earnestly desire it, get in position, and watch God pour out His blessing on your life. It's right here. Powerful. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we can talk more about it. But it's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's dunamis power. It's what gets you out of your shell. It's what breaks through the enemy's big detour signs. It gives you power. This is, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen? When things are getting tough, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit kicks in your life and you say, "I can get it in front of people. I can talk to people at wherever." I can remember the first time. You know, I owe a lot to my wife because, you know, I had a head knowledge of God. You guys have picked up on that. But there was something deeper that I was missing. I believe I was born again and saved. I believe that. I believe at one point in time I had a head knowledge, and then I believed I got to my heart. It went 18 inches lower. Hello? Amen? Okay? You don't want to miss heaven by this much. Just saying. Because I would have. If I would have died back then, I would have missed it by this much. Okay? And I got born again, but there was still something more. The Lord wanted to do something deeper and move greater in my life. And I rejected it a little bit, and I was unsure of myself a little bit. I didn't know what I was doing a little bit. And God bless my wife, because she helped lead me to a deeper level with God. And for me, I'd like to imitate that a little bit today, because I'd like to lead you a little deeper with the Lord, that He's still moving. there is a deeper presence of God that's available to each one of you, that you don't have to be afraid nor ashamed, and you have this dunamis power that I'm talking about because so many people have rejected it. But my loving wife, you know, she'd been baptized once already, and I had never been baptized. And we were at a different church. We weren't here. And she went ahead and got rebaptized again with me, and she kind of led the way. She was my lead the path, even though I was supposed to be the man. I was supposed to be the priest of the home, and I was supposed to lead the way. But it was my wonderful wife that led me this whole time, because she initially invited me to a church atmosphere that believed in the Holy Spirit, that believed in the moving of gifts, that did not forbid the speaking of tongues, that was not ashamed of the gospel, was not ashamed of the dunamis power. But boy, did it mess me up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. A few of you do. You know, high praise. You know, when you're living contrary to the Word of God and you're living on the bubble, you'll get uncomfortable with high praise. When you're living outside the will of God and bouncing back and forth and everybody's praising and you don't feel like praising, you'll get a little uncomfortable. And that was this guy, because I was living wherever I wanted to live, having a belief in God. And she took me to church, and many of you met her mom, know her, godly woman. But boy, it messed this guy up. Because I got a taste of the Holy Spirit entering a room. And at first it's like, what's going on here? This is not an orchestra. This is not a play. This is not made up, but I feel something different. You see, before I didn't feel much. But I could tell that there was something different in the room than before, that going, something's going on here. I need to get right with God. Come on. You see, I became uncomfortable in my sins. That's what happens to a few people at church. They come into a Holy Spirit-filled power anointing service, and it's like their seats warmed up, because the sooner they can get out of here, the better they feel with their flesh. But the reality is God's trying to pull them to a greater measure, a deeper level that says, listen, just reside in me. Just dwell here with me for a moment and let me restore you and renew you. And I got all uncomfortable. But it's there then, once I understood that somebody taught me what was going on, it's like, that was the Lord moving in my behalf? Yeah. Where I finally felt something that I wasn't, the Word of God wasn't bouncing off me anymore. You know what I'm saying? You see, I kind of had a calloused heart, and the Lord put in a new heart to where I could receive the things of God. So, and moving on with that, so you kind of see the picture. But you know, we can get calloused if we're not careful. And she got baptized with me, and at that point in time, when she come up out of the water and I come up out of the water, there was something new about me. There was the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in my life. There I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There I received the speaking of tongues. Believe it or not, yes, it's true. I'll testify. I'm not ashamed of it. Those that think that people are freaks and different things, no, it's a gift of God. It's your prayer language. He's still the same today and forever. And there I felt God at a different measure. It's not of the enemy. It's not of the devil. It's not of the world. It's a gift of God that you get imparted with something that's not your own. Are you here? It is a wonderful thing. It got awful quiet on me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I want you to know that the gift is available for your dunamis power. And it was through my wife helping me that I learned about the power of El Shaddai. I learned about the power of El Elyon. And what we're seeing here is the time of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit falling on men. But there are keys to Him falling on men and being imparted in your life. Are you here? It wasn't just one time and end. Amen? You may have a dwelling with the Lord all the time and every time. Now, I'm on a deep subject that makes some people uncomfortable. Let me tell you, we're not ashamed of the gospel here. Amen. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not, and I'll stand on TV all around this line. I'm not going to be like some of these preachers that dance around the subject. There is one way to heaven. Jesus is the way, He's the truth and the life. And know it and hear it from me that according to Scriptures, John 14:6, He is the way. I'm not deviating from that. I'm not making the gospel so appealing that anybody can just feel welcome. No, you got to get in line in His perfect will and understand this is the path. You can't dance on the edges on this verse. Do you know preachers that do? Not good. Not this one. I'm going to give an account. The Bible says that not many of you should be teachers because you're going to give a greater account. Right. I'm going to give an account, and it better be in line with the Word of God, and I better stand strong on it, otherwise I shouldn't be here. Amen? It's okay. I'll amen myself, because I know it's true that there are some that are in places and pulpits that they need to get right with the Lord and get in His perfect will, because He's leading people astray. There's men and women leading people straight. You can't be in this pulpit living a life of sin. It has to be in line with the Word of God. Amen? Get right. Isn't that what Pastor Sparks' dad says? And he's still Pastor Sparks too, by the way. Get right, live right so you can die right. Well, listen, you can't give away and go changing this doctrine to fit your own life. This word is supposed to change our lives. Amen? And we go taking this, and I know people that, well, I don't like that verse. Let me get out of that verse. Oh, and the Bible says don't forbid the speaking of tongues. But there's people that do. There's churches all over this land that they take it. And I'm like, wait, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look what happened back in the day. Amen? I'm here to tell you that the gift is available to you. All you have to do is desire it. Where am I at? Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And that was me. And it's still available to you today. It's available to you anytime. It did not end. Did not end. You can be baptized. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's how it happens. You will know it when it happens. You can't make it up. Now, we have our prayer language that you just naturally feel comfortable with in the spirit that you pray. But when this happens, you'll know that there's something different about you. When you come up out of that water, you need to be baptized, or maybe you've already been baptized and you just need to ask the Holy Spirit to pour out His blessings. It's available. You'll know. You'll feel it. There'll be something different about you because it will affect you. Hello? Is this too deep today? You okay? All right. You guys got awful quiet. I won't make any of you nervous, but you got to understand the power of God. Many of us have a belief in God. Many of us are saved, born again. But do you understand the true power of El Shaddai? Amen. Has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to Me. You know, without the Holy Spirit moving through you, you're going to have a hard time witnessing to anybody. You'll be a witness, all right. You'll be a witness of what it's like to live outside the covering of God. You'll be a witness of what it's like to live outside His covering. That's why I needed baptized, born again, right? Amen. With the dunamis power. I needed something to get me from the old Peter to the new Peter. Because the new Peter changed. He didn't go back. He didn't even want any more of it. You don't want anything of your past, do you? No. I didn't think so. You shall be witnesses to Me. Me is capitalized. It's in red. So you're going to be a witness to Jesus in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world. Let me tell you, since then I've been on the potter's wheel. knowing that there was something greater that I needed to do. Oh, was I nervous about getting up here and being all over this internet? Yeah. Did I like speaking? Not so much. Was I uncomfortable? Yeah. But there's something greater that's in me than that which was in my past. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. I was in the world before, but now there's something greater in me. Amen? Now go with me. Now when He had spoken these things while they watched, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. This is Jesus. This is your Bible, truth, infallible Word of God. People don't believe this, but look what it says. When He'd spoken these things while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Are you waiting? Are you ready? Are you expecting? Because He's going to come like a thief. He's going to come when you aren't expecting. Like the days of Noah. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were drinking and they were eating. And they were going to wherever and they were doing all their things. But just as the days of Noah, the Lord's going to close the door. Boom. And it's going to be time to go on home. I don't know about you, but if you're not ready and you're not expecting, today's a good day to get ready.
Amen.
Amen. You're not going to go past this. There's going to be an account that each one of us are going to give because the Lord's coming back. He's built each one of us a mansion. You're an awesome builder. You know how long it takes to build. For me, when I build something, it's five times as long, but the Lord, He knows how to get it done. You give that man a shed, and I bet it'd be done in a day. You give me a shed, give that man a shed, I bet it'd be done in a day. Give me a shed, and it's a month. But you know, only God knows how much time you have left and what kind of mansion He's building for you. And I want you to be encouraged and know that He's coming back for you and I. He's coming back. Amen? Don't let the world tell you that, well, it's been so long. No, He's coming back.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to be dancing in and out. Verse 11. Verse 12. Goes, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They were all in position. They were all in position. If we continued in the book of Acts, writing our own story, we need to be in position like these guys. They all continued with one accord in prayer. Hello? And supplication. You know what supplication is? It's earnestly seeking the Lord. Almost to the point of begging. It's a seeking Him to be in prayer with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and His brothers. They continued with one accord in prayer. And I want to urge you, don't give up on your prayer time. I don't care how busy you get. Don't do like I've done in the past. Or I get so busy that I don't make time for prayer. It's that cultivating your relationship with the Lord. It's that love your Lord, your God. You may be 100 mile an hour, but even if it's on your way going somewhere, be in prayer. Use your prayer language when you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. Amen? And look at verse 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. How'd you like to have been there during that? Wouldn't that have been awesome? Can you imagine going back to that? When we get to heaven and there is no more time, wouldn't that be an awesome place to go to and see that point in time in history where they were all earnestly in one mind and one accord? Their common denominator was Jesus. They were seeking the Lord. They were wanting something deeper from the Lord. They're wanting something. Wouldn't that be a great example for us? Wouldn't that be awesome if we could all be like that on the day of Pentecost? You know, I believe we've had a taste of it here, where the Lord just shows up and fills the room and there's power available. You see, it still can happen, even though you hear people that it's not where God isn't moving. It's still happening in places all around the land. It's happening in other churches. It's happening in other countries. People are getting healed. People are getting set free. People are being prayed and arms and legs are growing. People are getting healed of diseases. And people are getting saved by the thousands. But in here in America, we've got it so good. We're so comfortable that where is the earnest begging and pleading and crying out a supplication in prayer for God to move? You see, it's different. It's got to be different for us. There's got to be a change, America. You know, the Bible clearly says, if my people who are called by my name would pray, would humble themselves, would turn from their wicked ways, what does God promise He'll do? He will heal the land. Let me tell you, America, there's your answer. Church, there's your answer to today's problems. If we would pray for peace, if we would pray for safety, if we would pray for our brothers and our sisters, if we would get in a moment of prayer every day and realize the power of God moving, maybe we would just see Him heal our land. So what about your homes and your marriages? Is it any different? We look at God from a global standpoint, but how about in your homes? Is prayer important in your home? You know, Jesus, he got kind of a holy indignation, didn't he? Remember when he turned over the money changers' tables? Right? People say, well, he got mad. No, he got a holy indignation. That's because that was not in line with his word. That was not approved by Jesus. And what's he do? He turns over the tables and he said, my house will be a house of prayer. How about your house? You see, we need the Lord daily, not just when we have a need. Amen? He's not our grocery God. He's the God that we should be cultivating a relationship of love the Lord thy God every day, not when we're just going through this emergency and this mercy. Because let me tell you, He'll keep you in crisis mode if that's the only time you're going to talk to Him. I've been there, okay? I've been there. He's had to work on this old Peter. Okay? Look what it says. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is in your Bible. This is a touchy subject for an associate pastor to talk about, but let me tell you, I need to tell you the truth that the power is still available to you. No matter the position I'm in, I need to tell you the truth of this is power, just like I told you about tithes and offerings, just like I'm telling you the truth about things that's available to you if we don't put God in a box. That you can see signs and wonders and miracles. The Bible talks about, we just learned recently in reminders about that we'll do exploits. Didn't we? That gets me charged up. This is, you mean there's going to be some even in these end times that are still on fire for God? Yes and amen. Come on. Come on. Right? We're not going to blend in. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So moving down to verse 12. But they were all amazed and perplexed when this happened. Boy, was I ever the first time that I heard and seen the Holy Spirit moving in this manner. I was amazed and perplexed so much that I was like, what is going on? You're leave me up here all by myself, aren't you? Saying to one another, whatever could this mean? In verse 13, others mocked and said, they are full of new wine. Oh yeah, full of new wine, all right, about Jesus' kingdom. Uh-huh. Amen. There's a new wine available. If you're ready to receive the wine of the kingdom, you can't put this in the old. You got to be ready to move to the new. And Peter, in verse 14. Do you see this? Look at this. But Peter. We've been talking about Peter, haven't we? Moving all the way up to this. But Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, and he ministered to them all, and he stood up and he preached, and thousands were saved. Peter, the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, the one that took his eyes off the Lord. Peter, you see, we can put ourselves in Peter's shoes, can't we? Of the old Peter, but are you ready to put yourself into the eyes and shoes of the new Peter? The new Peter stood strong against those that mocked the kingdom. The new Peter will stand strong against those that call us a bunch of nuts. The new Peter will say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And not turn away from it and say, well, I don't really know. No, yes, you do know. I was asked just yesterday, it reminded me, it just came to my mind. And a guy asked me, he says, you had something going on yesterday? I said, yeah. So he saw me in my suit. So I don't wear a suit very often. And I said, yeah. I said, we got the honor and opportunity to marry a beautiful couple. I said, what? Are you a minister? Right then and there, I had an opportunity to be the old Peter. Are you catching it? Right then and there. Are you a Christian? Well, we're waiting. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ or are you not? We're waiting. Which, you see, you're going to give an account of what you speak. I can't even tell you the dream I had a week or two ago about denying Christ or accepting Christ in the kingdom of God. You'll be known as you're known. You'll be known by your fruit. I had the opportunity to appear. Are you a minister? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I stand unashamed. You do this at work? Yep. I work and I'm a pastor. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not. You're a brother. Yes, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer the old Peter. I stand bold in what I say, knowing that I'm going to give an account. Make fun of me and mock me at they will. They'll mock the new Peter. They'll mock the new Corey. But oh, let me tell you, stand firm on the Word of God, because I know whom I have believed. I know what I know. I know what God's done for me. I know, I believe, and I testify that if I would confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness. I believe and receive 1 John 1:9, knowing that I messed up, knowing that I've changed from who I once was, knowing I'm on the potter's wheel, but I don't walk the same. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ, and you've got to stand strong on that because you're going to be tested. Come on. You're going to be tested. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or does your speech defile you? That was Peter's problem. I saw you with them. I saw you at church. Yes. I had another lady, she said, I saw you with a whole group of people over at the Evergreen Cafe. I met her yesterday. She's a beautiful lady. She goes, weren't you with a whole group of people over at the Evergreen Cafe, a whole bunch of people from church? Yes, ma'am. I was with those people. They saw us. There was people in this church yesterday that saw us fellowshipping. You didn't even know it. And they came to this church yesterday. They said, we saw about 10 or 11 or 12 people all eating together, getting along, having a good time. And was that your church? That was the Lord's church. But yes, that was the River. That was the River family. We were all there eating. Well, praise God. I saw you with those people. Isn't that awesome? I'd rather have that than say, well, I saw you over here talking to this person and doing all this. That was the old Peter. The new Peter. The new Peter stood up with the leaven and raised his voice, taking a stand for Jesus. The new Peter wasn't afraid to talk like in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This new guy, he didn't know what it meant to be saved. He couldn't lead anybody to be saved because he didn't know what he was doing himself. But let me tell you, if you want saved, if you want to be born again, if you need salvation, you need prayer, this guy is going to be praying with you. Amen. This guy is no longer ashamed. They can say what they want and mock me all they want. Have you ever had that? Yeah. Oh, they're mocking you, all right. Whether you hear them or not, they're mocking you. They get bold enough, they'll do it on Facebook. It's okay. I'm still blessed.
That's right.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not. You see, part of not being ashamed is you can't back away from these tough things. You can't back away from this pulpit. You can't back away from this camera. You can't back away from the person at the grocery store. You can't back away from the person that says, were you with those people? Were you with those other Christians? Yes. You can't back away. Are you a minister? Yes. You can't back away. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Yes. You can't back away from that. Otherwise, I'm going to be concerned about you. I'm not ashamed. You got to get past this. I'm not ashamed. You cannot be ashamed in these times. You see, that's where the power comes. The dunamis power says, I believe. I believe. Amen? And Peter said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And moving all the way down to verse 40 for sake of time. Look what else the new Peter said. He said, and with many other words he testified. Excuse me. With many other words he testified and exhorted them. What did he say? Be saved from this perverse generation. Come out and be separate. Come out from the sin. Come out from the drugs. Come out from the junk. Come out from the fornication. Come out from the covetousness. Come out from the stuff, the world's ways, and be saved from the perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. You see, the new Peter wants to see people get set free. The new Peter wants you and I to go on to heaven with the rest of us. Before, I could care less. It was all up here. But now there's a heart change that says, I want my family saved. I want each one of you saved. I don't want to be in looking and going, where are you at? So today's the day to make things right. He says, be saved from this perverse generation. I'm getting ready to close with this. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Some of you watching, you're in the Warsaw area. Come on. It's time to get right, get baptized, get in church, get healed, get set free, let go of the past. Amen. Make it a new day. Make it a new season in your life. That day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. How would you like to have a baptism like that? Woo! 3,000 people in this yard. We'd have them coming in. They're driving by wanting to get baptized. Praise God. We'll just keep going. Wouldn't that be awesome? Imagine one day you have this many people here at church, and some there's a clarion call that says, come on, come on to the river, and then every seat is full in this place. How about that kind of thinking? Huh? Instead of doubting and wondering whether or not our family's going to get saved, how about we invite somebody and say, listen, there's a more excellent way. Be bold. Call them back up. Send them another text. Say, come on, come to church with me next weekend. Amen? In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done with the apostles. I'm more concerned about what God thinks of me than what the world thinks of me. Amen? Signs and wonders were done through the apostles. It didn't end with the apostles, by the way. Amen? We're still seeing signs and miracles today. Just because you're not seeing them don't mean it doesn't happen, because they're happening in places all around this land. Now, in verse 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, and as anyone had a need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I'm so waiting to have people over this summer, and we meet, and we eat together, and we enjoy life together. Amen? Just the simple things of life. Wouldn't that be nice? Get rid of all the hustle and bustle. Do any of you still do the things like the old times, like I did with my grandparents, where it was just time to come over and you just had a family meal? How about that? Not McDonald's. I'm talking about we put on a spread and just enjoy family and friends together. You know, we can do that as believers. It's called unity. They come together. Amen. And look what it says in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. It can still happen. Amen. We're still believing for your families. If you have lost people, if you have people that are sick, we're still believing. God's still moving. This hasn't ended. It's available and possible, but we have to be in position as believers. We have to be in position as followers of Jesus Christ, unashamed of the gospel, for one. Didn't Pastor just get done preaching that? We have to not be ashamed of the gospel. We have to be in unity and loving one another and being kind to one another. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've been studying a lot here lately. Love is kind. Amen. Being united for who? For the Lord. For God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And in that, I'm going to close today because that's some deep teaching to get into on a Sunday morning. But listen, the power of God is still available if we don't quench it. We can quench it every day, all day, Sundays, every day of the week. But it's time to open up our eyes and our hearts that God's still moving. And not this traditional put on a show worship kind of entertainment. I'm talking about the real power of God moving in our lives, seeing people set free, people having addictions, and boom, they're set free in Jesus' name. Amen. People having guilt and shame, boom, they're set free in Jesus' name. People that are in wheelchairs, boom, set free in Jesus' name. Those that no longer need walkers and you pray over them. Boom. Amen. Yeah. It is still available, whether people you know, and they can mock me and they can call me a nut, but I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And I testify to you today of the new Peter that believes, if you believe in your heart, that he'll save you of your sins. He will make you a new creation in Jesus Christ. If you're... if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you too can be saved and set free. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at the River. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.